Blog Talk Radio.
Thomas, and I believe others will be coming in shortly. But this podcast, you can call it a simulcast, is on Blog Talk Radio. It's also on Facebook Live. We also doing the Zoom thing, and we posted on other in other groups and chat rooms. And so we want to welcome everybody on Facebook Live, those who are here with us in person on the Zoom call. And Brother Tavi, are you set up, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, well, as always, we want to bring in, you know, my partner, Brother Satavi Jai. He will always have something positive to share with us. Brother, you got it.
All right, thank you, David. Yeah, I had some technical difficulties getting on, so I had to dial in another number. But anyway, I'm here. We always do open the show up with Daily Motivations for African American Success by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And if other people can be rich, why shouldn't we? It's a question we always need to ask ourselves, you know, making sure that we understand how to navigate this wealth game. Anyway, the reading for the day, August 23rd, speaking in tongues. Practicing the golden rule is not a sacrifice, it's an investment. Bell Avery, founder of the National Black Women's Health Project. The golden rule is the same for all believers, Judeo-Christian. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Islam, let none of you treat his brother in a way he himself would dislike to be treated. Confucianism, what you would not wish done to yourself, do not do unto others. Buddhist principle, one should seek for others the happiness one desires for oneself. Hindu, the true rule of life is to be guarded and do by the things of others as they do by their own. Hosea from ancient Egypt. He sought for others the good he desired for himself. Let him pass on. Since the Creator wound the hands of time, mankind has constantly preached the golden rule. When you select the rule of conduct by which you will guide yourself in your affairs, you need to realize that you are unleashing a power that will run its course back to you. You may deal with others as you wish, but if you understand the law upon which this simple key is based, you will know that its application spells success in any language. The golden rule will be my guiding law of life. And it's so important that we know that we practice these principles as we move forward in all of our affairs and the things that we do, so that, you know, that we can seek the best outcomes in our life. As you sow it, so shall you reap. So if you sow good seeds, you'll reap good seeds. If you sow bad seeds, it's coming back at you. You know, it's called karma. What goes around comes around. So, you know, it's important that we understand the golden rule and that we practice and participate in applying the golden rule to our everyday life, so that as we move forward in life, we can have the best outcomes. Back to you, David.
Okay, thank you, sir. That was powerful. And coming from all different areas, too. And, you know, words are powerful, as I always say, and especially when it came from the, you know, ancient scribes and things like that. But in any case, You know, a lot is going on in this world with the COVID thing, Afghanistan, the islands. I mean, so much misery and hurt and pain is going around. And thank God we do have some good news. You know, we have the National Black Unity News. We're trying to put a bright light in dark areas because, as you know, so many people are hurting. And not only that, even in our own backyard, in our own family, those of you who surf the internet, it's always death abounding and people going through stuff and all types of situations. So, you know, that's why I count it all joy, because even some of the worst situations I've ever been in, it could have been worse. And Brother Satai, we mentioned something about planting seeds. And, you know, I truly believe that not only do we plant seeds, but by the choices we make, every choice that we make have consequences to it. I don't care how likely you may think it is, but it has consequences. And so, therefore, choose wisely. And what you put out there will come back to you one form or another. That's the law of the land, that's the law of nature, and that's the law of God. And, but in any case, you know, Brother Satavi and I were talking earlier, and, you know, I like to keep things on a high note sometimes, but sometimes, you know, but also we have to keep things real. You know, we, like I say, you don't take things for granted. You don't take freedom for granted. Freedom comes with a price. And, you know, I don't like to watch news too much anymore because, like I say, it just brings so much heartbreak and things, but I still like to keep abreast of what's going on. And when I see tens of thousands of people scrambling, trying to get out of their home, getting away from their own homes, and, you know, I can't even imagine what that would be like. And then right here in our own country, floods and all kinds of, you know, atrocities are taking place. But in any case, you know, it's all the way you look at things sometimes, half full or half empty. You can look at things and get upset, or you can have hope and maybe we will have a better tomorrow. And we are our brother's keeper, so we have to pray for those all over the world who are going through so much. But by the grace of God, there go I. But in any case, the National Black Unity News, we have several members on here that's involved with the publication. I just want to give you a little insight before we get into our discussion is this. Monday nights in the very near future will be playing a dual role. Yes, we're going to talk about certain subject matter, but we're going to be highlighting individuals that I made a somewhat of a commitment to early this summer about doing a documentary on people in the Baltimore area who has put in some great work, some of the old schoolers, new schoolers, and the young bucks as well, newcomers and oldcomers. You know, everybody's putting in work, and I just want to highlight them because, as I just mentioned, you know, Baltimore has been displayed over the last several years of a not too nice place to be. It's always highlighting, you know, in the crime rates, murder rates, and a lot of other type of rates. But then again, if you live here, there's a lot of great things and good people doing wonderful things here. You know, if you want to show the story, show it all. That's what I always say, you know, equal the playing field. But so we're going to take, you know, part of Monday's show, then we're going to highlight and interview some of those people who are doing real good work, because this documentary is going to be one powerful piece to show people, you know, not only here in Baltimore, but all across this country and all across the world, people out there putting in great work, doing wonderful things like the people I'm looking at right now. And so Fran, Leroy, Vernon, I see Brother Rico. Soon and real soon, I'll be interviewing you in the doctor. And I like to start with home, take care of home first. I like to highlight those who are involved with the National Black Unity News, because they putting in works not only in the community, in the paper, and all over the place. And so in this documentary will probably be 1 to 4 parts, maybe even, you know, 6 parts. I don't know. But it's quite a few people. And I was going to get into certain things, but there are certain people I see on here that I would like, you know, share some information about some things they're doing, because it's extremely important. But I do want to bring this subject matter up just for thought. Now, what's going on in Afghanistan? You know, a lot of people have their thoughts about what's taking place, or what has we or this country has went over there and tried to put on them, you know, or what they was, are they willing to receive. But whatever happened, just like in Vietnam, from my perspective, I don't know the politics of those countries, but they had one thing in common that I see in both countries. They were so adamant about fighting for what they believed in that they stood the test of time, 10, 20 years, 30 years, 40-year wars. They went up to not just the United States, but all the other type, Russia's and all the other major dominant countries in the world. And they stood the test, same thing in Afghanistan. And it just makes me wonder sometimes, you know, I know they have the privilege of, being there and have history there. You know, it's just different with black people not in this country, because we was taken away from where, you know, from which we come from. And, but still, principles are principles. And I do know, you know, when you got some history, I'm not a historian, but I do know this country has always went around the world and tried to protect the world in some form of manner, but also tried to portray, you know, or put forth their ideology on other countries, make them, you know, kind of force them to change their way of being. And I don't know if it's good or bad, but, you know, I do know about propaganda. I do know how media work. I know they can put out information and make you think that these people this way. And we should have firsthand knowledge of that, especially in this country, what they do to us, how they betray us in media. And so, so that propaganda is real. And they can use women, they can use all type of excuses for what they say and why they over there fighting, you know, why they went there in the first place. But, you know, I heard some people, you know, it's kind of, you know, crazy, but they say, you know, I heard it was far back on us, you know, well, look how your women dress, you know. So, but in any case, no matter what people pick on or say this, that, but you know, when people stand up for themselves for what they believe in, it drives home a powerful point. And I know them people in mountains and did all, I mean, they over all these years, and I, like I said, I don't know the history of the country, but I do take some kind of, not side, but I understand the principle of fighting for what you believe in. That is one of the reasons why I dedicated the majority of my life to fight for us, my people, in my own little way. And just like all the rest of you, do things in your own way to fight for what you believe in. And all I'm saying is, you know, we were going to have a discussion on that, but I'm kind of, you know, get away from that. And, but, you know, I didn't want, you know, since I said we were going to talk about it, so I'm talking about it. And you can as well, and I'm quite sure you already have. But I'm going to turn this into a little something else, because there's a lot of, like I said before, out of Baltimore and all across this West, a lot of great things are happening. A lot of people doing a lot of wonderful things, people moving all over the place. And I hope he can come on. I see a young man, one of our editors, and I really want him to come on because, Brother Milan, can you unmute yourself, sir? And if you can, please do so. Okay, good, good.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Now, I want you to explain because I shared a couple of weeks ago with our family members the National Black Unity News reward cards, you know, and how powerful of a concept this is. And I want you and maybe Earth to come in behind you to explain how these cards work for you, for us, and for our individual.
Is going to keep you within a network that is actively looking to support you. So those are my quick and dirties of how this card is. I'm definitely here for the questions.
Okay, I want you to explain something else. Now, the National Black Unity News has its own card with its own name on it. But Eartha Harris is on it. She has her own card with tight-knit on them as well. And there's other organizations that have their card. Can you explain that system, please?
Absolutely. So you guys know when you go into Shoppers or some of your grocery stores, you find card walls. And those have gift cards for Starbucks and Walmart and GameStop and your phone bill and certain things that are of interest to you, what you might use on a day-to-day. We have a very similar type of system in the reward system. Cards that we have with different logos on them come with the value of that particular brand. So I may have for our store a Be More Green grocery store and get reward points and discounts for my groceries that I buy. I may have a tight-knit card and be the first person to know about any of the events that are going on in the local area. But I might have my Mr. Bobby card because you know what? I like chicken boxes and I want to get them at discount. So your card, you are supporting the organization that's behind the logo you see. When I become a National Black Unity News member, a card-holding member, I get to support this organization and redeem all the benefits that come with IBA. So when you see that there are different versions, different logos on the card, that is to keep us all unified. That way we can build the same base of people in our own uniqueness and keep our own autonomy and keep the mission us consistent with whatever it is that we were already doing. So your different cards will all give you a different kind of twist and value. And then all roads lead to Rome. They will all be in support of Black businesses. They will all give you discounts. They will all offer you reward points for the dollars that you spend. And they will all be written on the back where you can download our app and stay connected and learn, like I said about before, where those businesses are around you, which events are coming up, and what resources may be available to you at what we call at cost or wholesale.
Okay. Now, for instance, now I can take the National Black Unity card and I could design my card to say, for instance, if I wanted to ask the Black businesses in our directory to give no less than a 5% discount off their product, goods, or services. That means every time you show that card, this card, that's what you will get with this card. Now, the beauty about what I like about this card, Eartha, can you unmute yourself? She may be working or driving. But if you can, unmute yourself. Eartha has a tight-knit card under the same IBA system. And the beauty about what I like about this card.
I found the unmute button, but go ahead. You can finish telling me what you like about it, then I'll chime in.
No, I just want you to share a little bit that you have an IBA card with tight-knit on it. What if somebody purchased a card from you, what would they get for that?
Right. So let me explain the vision that I see with you identifying the different logos on the cards. the different logos mean that a lot of us, unfortunately, we do have a lot going on, but it's hard for us when we meet one person to run down everybody that we know that got something going on. So when I show my card, or if I show the Black Unity newspaper card, they're already in my network. So they may be hitting me up because they want to know when the next event is. But also, people call me all the time. Do you know a roofer? Do you know an accountant? Do you know this person, that person? I'll be like, oh, shoot, you can go to the IBA app and go get that information. So even if I was to carry a card from the daycare center, plenty of businesses in your directory, it could say a daycare center. But the people are just utilizing the opportunity to brand what they love. If you ever seen a nonprofit organization, they tell you to pick which charitable organization you want to make your donation, but they may just be called Black Charity Organization. So what Malon did, he was making it so all of us who want to call ourselves the we can be able to move when one person moves. So when the Unity newspaper is moving, I'm moving. Where some people really felt, I see them growing, but I don't see myself growing. And how do I grow? And how do I take and manage my time and my resources? Because I can't go to every event. I can't support every business. I can't even sometimes find out what's going on. So Malon said, okay, well, I'll make it easy for you. Don't care what business you support. Don't care what event you may want to go to. Don't care what information you're seeking. You will benefit if you tie into our network because we want you to look at us first. So before you go out there, because we all talk about strengthening the Black, infrastructure, whether we businesses, events. Everybody say, buy Black, buy Black, buy Black. But we notice that a lot of our stores are shutting down. A lot of people don't get the support that they needed. So if we're going to talk Black and we're going to be Black, we have to hold ourselves accountable. How do we do that? We know how many dollars we're spending. We know who we're supporting because we have a system that's so easily in place that these things that we've been talking about for so long, we can even make sure that we can measure ourselves. You know, sometimes we have people that create the system, say like Malon. He can create a system, but he also is in a situation that he can be accountable to who he shops with, what his products are, what events is he going to. So I love it. And we always talk, David, about how me, you, Bill, and all of us guys are so great, but we really couldn't put our finger on how do we help each other. So we help each other by saying to someone, yeah, my card say tight-knit, but that symbol on it, that IBA symbol, it gets you into my network. So anything that you think about, anything you need, you go into my network. I'm like a referral system by myself. You see what I'm saying? So when people want something, they just, hey, go into my IBA network, and we got everything you need. So that's the beauty of the IBA card. And again, if you want to brand yourself, it's all great because we all out here doing things. So that's what the card is also able for you to do, to put your exact logo on that card. It's a beautiful thing.
All right, yes, because, you know, I'm well pleased with the card. And some of the family members, I didn't do it yet. I'm kind of behind in the system. But they supposedly got some mail with a card in it, but it's coming. And but you know, again, so as I expand my territory, it's good to know that there's other people out there expanding theirs as well. And I could take my card and use it in my system, and take the same card and go into Earth's system, Be Green system, and everybody else's system. And so that's a powerful thing. And this is what, you know, I've been. And like I said, I cut my teeth on a directory and a discount card. But keeping money circulating amongst ourselves is one powerful thing, how we can change our whole being, how we can start building colleges again, our businesses, institutions, and everything else by keeping money circulating in our own community. Everybody does it. And it's about time we step up our game and do, get a little better. And
let me make sure that we explain to people, because like you said, talk is great, but let me explain to the action that you guys need to take. The action is so important. Right now, after you get off this line, you can go to the website, www.ibaapp.com, or if you want to do it on your phone, you can go into the Play Store or the Google app, and you can download the IBA app. Because what we want to do, to me, David, that we have to do is start right away of seeing how we can hold ourselves accountable. So one of the things that I love, and I like that Malon is getting a little bit more patient, because we ask young people to join us, but sometimes they don't really feel like we hear them because they're joining us and they're presenting something and people are not wrapping their heads around it. So I want to also be in that category of an older person, allowing young people to come to us with their ideas and actually taking some action. So if we can do that, and if you have any problems, you can call me or Dave or anybody, and let's see if we can come back to Dave with the accountability of how many people have downloaded the app. If you download it, all you do is put Unity Newspaper when they ask you the referral code or whatever. Is that, I'm sorry, Malon, is that his referral code? Because I know what mine is. Is that Dave's referral code if people download the app?
Yeah, so far, and this is just make it quicker, it's the acronym, TNBUN. When they download from the National Black Unity News, put those five letters in there. Lost my count. Yeah, TNBUN, the National Black Unity News. That'll let us know exactly what network you came from. You know, there will be different prizes and prize earnings, etc. going forward, but that'll definitely let us know, and it'll be the first step to you getting your own car to support this network here.
So one of the things I was saying, so like that, Malon's credibility.
Real quick, there's a there is an add-on reward system for both of you guys, McCall for Titan cards and for National Black Unity News cards. As soon as you download the app, if you put in their referral codes, you get your first reward point. You get 20 of them is when you get your first ability to cash in with anything free from the network. So you get one just for downloading and putting in TNBUN, or as I said, Titanic, as a referral code, so right when you download the app. I just wanted to put that out there.
So then what I'm showing you guys, then your second step is we'll call ourselves affiliates. So I'll speak for myself. Then your second step is like if you become a member, whether you sign up under Dave's brand or my brand, then I personally will put my own benefits. For instance, we have a event coming up this Friday. I'll offer you guys a 2-for-1 sale. So it's only $10 to get in. I can just do a push notification right now, which I'm talking to y'all on the phone. But I'll offer you, for $10, I'll give you 2 tickets. You know what I'm saying? So you can always, once you become a member of IBA, you can create your own memorandum of understanding of what the benefits will be once they get under the IBA system. And Dave could be whatever, you know, he has the ability, because we are an ownership of our own businesses, to offer people who participate our own incentive. So the first incentive is always going to be what IBA offer you, because like he said, you sign up, you get the points, you get this, you get the directory, you get all this sort of stuff. Then each of us that's affiliates of the IBA system, we create a memorandum of understanding that we give to the IBA system and say, if someone came to my store or my business or wanted my services or whatever, when they show me their IBA member, I will offer them this benefit. So that's how simple this thing is. And I love it because we got to figure out why we're not moving as fast when we know that we always have in the language that we're supposed to be supporting each other. We know that, again, we have to speed it up. We got to speed it up because a lot of people need money. A lot of people need help. And if we don't speed it up, sometimes they be gone or they be done closed down before we can reach the reach them and give them the resources. So this definitely will be a help in the way that we're trying to do it.
Okay, thank you. Now, let me say this to you, to everybody on here. You know, a lot of great things are happening, just what you just heard. Now, this is a powerful, powerful concept. And how everybody benefits, everybody, the consumers, the business owners, everybody, you know. And so, you know, I encourage you just get there, download, put the TNBUN in there. And but let me say something else, too. Of course, the National Black Unity News is expanding its territory with the directory. So everybody need to get in there and let your people know, because even it's free. We have a service in the directory, absolutely free. So there's no excuse for a business not promoting himself. Then there's another thing we are doing. So I just seen my sister Zulika just put something in the chat. But it's a group of us starting a network of podcasting. This is not the traditional type podcast. These are the type of podcasts that is going to have a lot of bells and whistles to. The best way I can explain it is they will be produce like a TV show, the beginning, ending, commercials, public service announcement, the whole nine yards. And it's a team of us. And we have three or four of our members who will be editing, cutting, and putting everything together. We have people who design commercials for people. And the beauty about this podcast system that we have is that we support one another. Each podcaster will support the members of the other podcast. For instance, if one person that they had an hour show, you may see five or six public service, and that might be 10 seconds, 15 seconds about the other show. And so we help each other create our own, you know, build an audience. And everybody already has their own network, just like with the IBA card. And so all of this, these connections will be taking place in the very near future. And I don't have to tell you the power of media and the power of radio, you know, like Ursa, she's on radio. She, you know, we all play dual roles. We have a lot of members now that's also in, you know, edited in the National Black Unity newspaper, but at the same time, we'll be podcasting. And so our territory is going to be open up in all different areas all across the country. And I'm going to tell you this, we already got people who wants to become part of the network, but we're going to shut it down Wednesday. Because we've taken on too many already. We want to get our base started off first, and then we can bring in other people. But they're going to be different criteria for other podcasts to come into the circle. But in any case, so, you know, I'm real excited, you know, about all the things that's taking place. And Brother Milan, I just want to give kudos to you, young man, because I know it was a rough road, long road, but you stood the, you know, the course of time, the test of time. You battle the obstacles and everything else, but that's how you cut your teeth, sir. So welcome to the club, because that's what most pretty much all of us had to go through, you know, over the years, and it will be more. So, you know, just gear up, but just so you know, but you're not by yourself.
I think Mrs. Benmore wanted to know was there any incentive of Melon for selling?
I have been answering. In the chat message, and this is a good time to bring out what she did say. She sister asked if there were commission incentives for helping to grow the network. There are always commission incentives for helping to grow the network. Right now, there are two primary options. If you are helping to promote and sell the National Black Unity News cards, which are already printed and available to you, we can help get your card activated. We offer you a commission agreement, and we can get you a handful of cards to operate with the National Black Unity News. And there's always the option to get your own cards recreated if you have a brand that you need. We'll still follow a similar referral process, so we will know that you were only able to rebrand these cards because you were first a member of the National Black Unity News. However, that is another option to you. It really depends on what you would like to do. For those who just are passive word of mouth, kind of, I know five of my best friends want to save money and support black businesses. It would be a great help to help sell and promote the National Black Unity News cards. I mean, for those of you who are establishing your own brands, this may be an opportunity for you to recreate You know, Brother Murphy has the directory. You know, that directory is merged with our app, so you'll be able to get your business listed into the app as a vendor and as a consumer as well in that scenario. So just let us know what works best for you as an individual, and there's room. We'll try to make room for everybody.
And again, I want to add this. And as an affiliate, we can also add some incentives. So, again, if you sell the Unity newspaper card, Dave, you can call me up, and I can add on to my incentive program that I'll give you a shout-out if you're a business on the radio show, or I can give you a discount to upcoming events. So we can also always offer incentives outside of what the IBA offers. So right now, that's my incentive for you guys to get on board the Black Unity newspaper, get your card, download your app, and I'll offer you, if you're a business, we'll give you a shout-out on the Titanium Radio Show. If you like to come out and enjoy events, you know, I can give you a discount, even up to $5 or $10 off of some of our upcoming events. This Friday, I'm offering an opportunity. If you buy one ticket at 10, I'll give you one free. So those are the ways that we can make sure that you guys understand how we can work this program and how it works for everybody.
All right. Okay, so you know, again, you know, information is power if we use it correctly. And so, you know, Brother Milan is in the National Black Unity News, you know, so you know how to get in touch. So if you want more information, you can contact him. Brother Milan, just give out your number while you're here anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys can reach me at 410-622-5161. I put it in the chat, but again, that's 410-622-5161.
Okay, so I'm going to move on to another subject because I want to give my sister a little shout out. And sister Eartha, can you go out to your number how people can get in touch with you as well? Sister Eartha, if you can, or even put it in the chat room, give out your information how they can get in touch with you. But I see Brother Cliff on here, and I also see Sister Zuleika Bazemore. And as a matter of fact, I was just watching her on the news not too long ago. Sister Bazemore, can you unmute yourself for a minute?
Good evening, my brother David Murphy.
Yes, how you doing, young lady? Let me just say this. You know, I want to bring her on because she's another one of the young ladies. You know, you weren't on at the time, but I was telling people about the documentary that we were going to do about people in Baltimore helping people. You know, it takes a village. And very soon I'm going to be calling you up to do an interview with you on this Monday night program. And so get ready. I want you to know that. But you're on the front line right now. And this I was talking about a little bit about Afghanistan early before you came on to the show. And just my little take on it, I didn't get into details, but you fighting on a front line about, you know, what's taking place. Can you explain to people what's taking place?
So, good evening, everyone. As you guys know, there is so much chaos going on in Afghanistan right now. And the reason being is not so much that the troops that Biden decided to out of Afghanistan. I think there was something like 2,500 troops still left on the grounds of Afghanistan, but billions and billions of dollars worth of military equipment, arms, jeeps, even a Black Hawk, so much equipment left. Also, there's anywhere from 15,000 to 40,000 U.S. American citizens that are consultants, that are even Afghanistanians that actually have been our allies over the past 20 years and their families. It's the question, the problem has been over the past week is not pulling out the actual Americans first, you know, keeping those military forces on the ground as they should have been assisting getting those American citizens, consultants, and allies to the airport to lift them off the ground and bring them back to the stateside. And that wasn't done. So strategically and logistically has been the problem. But another issue that came up on Friday, well, actually on Wednesday of last week, is Mayor Brandon Scott put out there that he wanted to bring 194 Afghanistan refugees into Baltimore City. And that just lit off fireworks in the city, throughout the city. And I'm going to tell you why. Because over the course of the past year and a half, we've had over 568 homeless people out of Code Blue. That when there was an outbreak in Code Blue, as you guys know, when I ran for mayor, I put out there on all the local media to Jack Young, at that time he was mayor, that y'all need to go by the CDC guidelines and close those major shelters and place those individuals in the various motels and in inns and hotels that are vacant right now due to the shutdown. Because y'all have $13 million still left in your emergency housing fund. And so you need to be having those individuals and use it as the opportunity to provide wraparound services, but also to begin to do the intake of those individuals that have been on a housing waiting list for over 5-10 years now. You guys have created, I told them, you guys have created a business out of homelessness. And that's so just so absurd. It's insane to me because it costs us taxpayers over $36,000 a year to house one individual at a Code Blue that costs $100 a night for a bed. That's $3,000 a month. That's $36,000 a year of our tax dollars when it's cheaper to permanently house them and provide them with the wraparound services and mental health services that a lot of them so desperately need. So when Brandon Scott had the nerve to put out that he wanted to bring 194 refugees here to Baltimore City without issues that we have plaguing our city right now, where you have still over 200 people still in motels and hotels, you promised 55 permanent vouchers. And we put enough pressure on them over the course of the last 8 months where city council even voted to change the MOHS, which is the Mayor's Office on Homeless Services, mission statement from sheltering to permanent housing. Now, quite naturally, because this got even some national press, HUD ended up giving the city 278 emergency permanent housing voucher. So today there was a rally, there was a press conference, and the new deputy director appointed by the mayor, William Wales, contacted me last Wednesday. We had a really long, really great discussion, but we still moved forward with this rally. And the reason being is we want to help the Afghanistan people because they were our allies for 20 years. But guess what? Maryland is one of the wealthiest states in the union. And it's huge. Maryland is huge. We have so many counties that can actually afford to take on some refugees. Baltimore City is not in a place. We have billions and billions of dollars coming into Baltimore City. But we must be focused on our issues, and we must be focused on the people of Baltimore City. So when it comes to the homeless, give them what you promised to give them, which is permanent housing. Don't talk about bringing 194 people here when already you still have over 150 people still in the hotel and motels, and the moratorium on evictions, it will end at the end of the year, and we need to make sure that those individuals are actually permanently housed.
All right. I'm glad you're standing up, because if we don't stand up for us, who will? And so I appreciate you for that, you know, and You know, we don't have a lot of time, but we control our time on this particular show. And I'm going to open up the mic to those who have, you know, concerns and you know, just want to talk about, you know, something that you're doing. Because, like I say, so much is going on in the world all over the place right now. And I mean, it's kind of crazy what's going on in Haiti. You know, I see things that, you know, just kind of boggles my mind, you know, how we can get aid to so many other places, but then certain groups of people, when it comes to aid and support, you know, everything is so difficult to do. And, you know, but I understand, because, you know, what, you know, ain't nothing new under the sun, so to speak. But I always had this gentleman on here, and I always, you know, I find the way he explained things fascinating. Because he always come from, you know, points of views that sometimes I may not even haven't even thought of. And Brother Cliff, can you unmute yourself for a minute?
Yes. Peace, family. Good afternoon. Good evening,
yeah.
Everyone. Sorry I'm here late. I just forgot.
Yeah, but let me explain
stick
something.
Stick my nose in and say hello to everyone.
Okay, yeah, but I want to ask you a question. Earlier I was just telling the people on the podcast about how the Afghanistanians, or, you know, I hope I'm saying that right, has stood up for themselves to have fought all of this time, and now, you know, they have some level of victory, the same way what happened in similar to Vietnam. You know, they fought for their homeland, they fought for their, you know, their ideas, and, you know, what they've been traditionally doing for, you know, generations and generations, you know. And here come a country like Russia, all the rest of these countries coming in there and, you know, trying to tell them, you know, how to run their thing and this, that. And we do know that all kind of atrocities happen in the country, in Africa, all over China, all over the place, you know, that what people do to other people. Man, you know, you can just look at what they do to us here in this country. But, you know, I've been hearing a lot of different takes on, you know, why we went into the country and then how they used the education and women as one of the reasons why they did this and why they do that. But from your perspective, you know, I don't want to put you too much on the spot, but from your perspective, from Cliff's perspective,
okay,
what do you think why they went in there and why do you think they leaving?
Well, the publicly stated reason why they went in there was to supposedly ferret out and destroy the roots of Al-Qaeda that had launched the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and supposedly what would have been the Capitol if that plane hadn't been brought down by passengers in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Now, that was the public reason. The other reason why that a lot of people mentioned was perhaps the same reason why the Soviets went into Afghanistan in the 1970s, and that would be so that they could control that a strategic part of the world where they could reach any number of countries, primarily in in Asia and in Eastern Europe, but also because supposedly there were energy reserves under the Caspian Sea, and there was the possibility of taking advantage of that resource if they could get control of Afghanistan. The United States decided that they were going to go in there in order to counter what the Soviets were doing, because the Soviets were basically oppressing the Afghan people. The United States went in there and came up with some congressional funds. There's a movie that came out starring Tom Hanks called, I think, Larry Wilson's War or something like that. But that's not the name of it, but basically that's roughly the name of the movie, where they were able to appropriate, I can't even tell you exactly how much money, but it started off as, I think, maybe several hundred thousand. I think it went into the millions. But they came up with all this money in order to help to fund what was then known as Mujahideen. And basically Mujahideen were really just a ragtag group of freedom fighters within the country of Afghanistan who were fighting against Soviet oppression. And so the United States said, okay, that's a great thing. We're going to go ahead and fund that. So they went and funded the Mujahideen to be able to get rocket launchers and shoot down Soviet helicopters and all this sort of thing. So after the United States had essentially succeeded in forcing the Soviets to withdraw from Afghanistan, then the question came up of, okay, now we have funded the Afghan people to chew their country up and tear it up into little pieces, trying to expel the Soviets. How about now we expend some money into building some infrastructure there, help them rebuild their country, help them rebuild their schools, help them educate their people. The United States had an opportunity right then, at the time of the Soviet withdrawal, to do something to help build a society, help the Afghan people build a society. The United States decided not to do that. They decided at that point, once the Soviets were gone and the United States' own strategic interests were satisfied, to just leave the Afghan people to their own devices. As a result of that, out of the Mujahideen comes the Taliban. And then the Taliban start to implement all these different requirements, all these different rules, customs laws, so on, Sharia law, et cetera, that ultimately rankled the Western powers like the United States. So they became suspicious of them. But then out of the Taliban further comes Osama bin Laden. Now, Osama bin Laden was, I believe, an Egyptian citizen or Saudi citizen of whose parents were Yemeni. And then he manages to get refuge in Afghanistan. He built up Al-Qaeda. Then he sends the planes to go essentially attack the United States on 9/11. Then at that point, the United States decides to go in and blow the place up again. So the two times the United States got involved in Afghanistan were basically to blow stuff up. And then after they finished going in the first time, blow stuff up, Soviets out, and then blow stuff up to not get the Taliban out, then they decided to turn tail and run. Now, they decided to turn tail and run a year ago. And some people, I think there's probably plenty of blame to go around. All the last four presidents probably take some blame for that. Carter might even take some blame, but I think Reagan takes some blame. I think Bush takes some blame. Obama takes some blame. Trump takes some blame. And Biden takes some blame. But ultimately, they decided they were going to pull out. And when Trump decided to go ahead and sign that agreement with the Taliban, who I think he very naively just considered to be, such fine gentlemen at the time that he met him last year in the White House, and he signs the agreement, the Taliban agrees to it. Yeah, the United States, get on up out. The United States all of a sudden finds itself beating this hasty retreat. And quite frankly, I'm surprised that the second they signed that agreement with the Taliban, they didn't start shredding documents and moving some of their sensitive information out. But the last couple of weeks, they're scrambling to get people out, to burn documents, to shred stuff, to move infrastructure, to not move Black Hawk helicopters and not move heavy military equipment, so leave it there for the Taliban to use, and to fail to get those people who were their allies among translators an opportunity to leave while the getting was good. For some reason or another, everybody decided they're going to wait until the very last minute. Sort of like somebody, I'll pay tomorrow, and then the rent comes due, and now you're scrambling to scrape together a few pennies. It seems the same kind of mentality was going on in the minds of basically the leaders of the United States, and I think there's plenty of that to go around for both Trump and Biden with regard to how they handled the retreat from Afghanistan, even though a lot of people are saying it would have been a freak show no matter how they'd done it. It just seems kind of crazy that more foresight hadn't gone into how they were going to get out. And of course, the main thing I'm seeing lately is I've seen a number of articles that have been put on the internet saying, Barbara Lee was right. If you remember when the authorization for the use of force, the AUF, was signed in 2003, to allow Bush to just go on in and just drop bombs whenever he wanted to, one person in the entire United States Congress, I'm talking about House and Senate, one person voted no. One. And that was Barbara Lee. And I remember a friend of mine saying, Barbara Lee is lunching. I looked at him and said, man, are you crazy? Barbara Lee's the only one in the Congress that's got any guts. And now people are coming back and saying, I guess Barbara Lee was right.
Well, like I say, Cliff, I appreciate that, your scenario on this, because, you always have a way of making things kind of plain, and I know you do you know, I know you do your homework. And, you know, sometimes, see, we can listen to major news, and I keep telling everybody about how media can sway you this way or that way. Most of the time they sway you the way they want you to be swayed. But it's good that we, us, have our own sources of information. And so, and that's why, again, media is so powerful. And we need to start connecting with people who have the resources so that they can tell the truth. And you know what the truth will do. It would help set you free, but at least you know what you're up against. And so before we shut down, anybody have any questions for Brother Milan, Brother Cliff, Sister Zuleika, or Earth Iris?
I want to comment. So
yes,
when I look at that situation, the first thing that comes into my mind is not what we see, what we don't see. One of the things nobody really talks about is the mindset of people. So if you look at the history of the Taliban, they groom themselves from birth. That's why they can do what they do. So they just don't wait like we do and try to get people who already been trained in their minds to not even be defensive. So you have to look at what do the Taliban school system look like? What are those little kids doing? Because when I seen them, they was all in a circle doing some hum, 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 hum. And they really plant this in those children's heads from day one. And that's a hard weapon to defeat is the mind. And we don't even get it in Baltimore City because we're so used to looking at all of the other elements that we may need. And we don't even think, why aren't we trained in our minds to be able to go into battle with whatever forces come at us and win? We always losing, whether it's housing, whether it's this, whether it's that. We want to go to these politicians. Even if we did make them do something, they're only going to do it because you made them do it. They don't do it because you out here building your own houses, creating your own schools, creating your own stuff. They do it because you make them. What I want to do is raise the level of consciousness of all of us and redirect our money. And as we go fight this war that we're being in, just like the war that they be in, we can show them we have the same picture that they have. We can't even show them. We still whatever, taken over by the United States. We worrying about some other country being invaded. We being invaded every day, and we don't do anything about it but claim that argue about we've been invaded. Let's use the most powerful tool that we have, which is our mind. And our mind says that the institutions that we're going to build around it is going to be the IBA system, the Indigenous Business Association, because those people use a lot of technology to keep up with communicating, to keep up with how people had to connect to different things in order to make that Taliban so powerful. So I look at what's going on right now is what we need to be able to go on right now in this country and look at these people as our enemies and develop the things that we need to be so we'll be just like the Taliban.
All right. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Where my brave soul at? Okay. But in any case, is this, you know, in closing, you know, like I said, it's a lot of good things are taking place. But, you know, Eartha hit on something very powerful. And you know, you kind of see things the way I saw it, too. You know, I saw a resilient people, but like I say, but they had such an advantage over it because they were basing their own tradition, their way of doing things, their way of saying things. And then I can understand when you see somebody coming to your home, foreign invaders, I don't care what country they come in, and try to dictate to you their way of being. And they stood up. Some of them stood up to it. A lot of them caved into it. That's why they breaking, you know, trying to get out the country now. But in any case, you know, we have, like you say, you know, like Sister Zuleika said, and Eartha is saying this, you know, we have a war in this country as well for our children, for our people. you know, the things that have been stripped from us from every conceivable thing. We've been, from my personal standpoint, I've seen a lot, I heard a lot of things go on in a lot of countries, but what has been done to us is an atrocity. And even though in this day of information and we know what has taken place, you know, I don't know about on the massive type of base, but, you know, I do see people right here with us right now this evening who are taking a stand in their own individual ways to make life better, not only for themselves, but for other people as well. And Ursa said it right. You know, we have to change our mindset because all things are possible. I really believe that. Because I wouldn't be doing the things that I do if I didn't believe it. That because I see it all the time. I see it right here where we right up, just up, the small group of us. But there's a massive amount of us who feel and think the same way as well. But we need to connect those dots. That's why media is so powerful. Cliff got going around his head. He has this will for all of our entities can come together and get into that circle. I mean, everything from media, entertainment, everything we got can come together. We still have our individual things, but we have to have some type of connecting rod, thing that unites us to keep us going forth. And we're doing. That's what the National Black Unity News is doing, not thinking about it. We're doing it. That's what the podcast is. Everybody's going to bring forth information. Even with the directory, we are, like the Earth always says, identify who the we are. So we have black business not only in local, all across the country. We have to get a hold of our economics. We have Brother Thomas on. He's got all types of plans and services. So we have pretty much everything we need, but what we need most is each other. And until we can get to that point where we can come together, think together, talk together, and work together. We ain't got to be lockstop in everything that we do, but there are certain principles that we must adhere to. We have to build entities so our children have a better future because they, you know, we can't allow them to keep going through, you know, from generation to generation, this same system that doing everything they can to keep their foot on our necks. And I'm not saying going out picking up guns and trying to shoot, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to work. But what can happen, if you think smart, strategically, use our resources with each other, not outside. You and build institutions. We did it before. We can do it again. We built all of these colleges back in the day under worse conditions than these. And we all know we are very creative. You know, we can build and do anything we want to do if we put our minds to it. So it's nobody going to do nothing but us, but for us, but us. And we have everything we know. So it's really no excuses, but we just have to come together. That's the purpose of the National Black Unity News, the National Black Business Directory, the podcasting, and everything. And I encourage you to get involved. We need every man, woman, and child. This is not a drill, ladies and gentlemen. This is warfare. Not only here, but abroad and all over this world, our people are going through these same type of atrocities. And so with that being said, you know, for those of you who want the IBA card, I have them. For those of you who want to get involved with the directory, it's available. It's online, tbndirectory.com. For those of you who want to participate in the National Black Unity News, give me a call. And because I'm definitely... You got something for me, you know, to get involved. You know I will. You know, I do what I can to promote and serve. But like I say, we got to stop talking about it. We have to stop being about it. You know, we can talk to people on the face, but, you know, action, you know. And we already know if we don't take a stand, if we don't stand up, you know how many more of our children will be in the jail? So how many more of our children will be killed? How many more of our children won't have opportunities? How many more of our children will be degraded from the day one and on for the rest of their lives if we don't take a stand? With all this information we have, brought in history aware of, and we already know what people are doing, how they're doing it and what they're doing it and the way they're doing it to us. And yet, like Ursa just said, if we don't change that mindset, we will continue to keep on getting what we've been getting. But like I say, but I do know one thing, and it's a proven fact. Just on this show right now, we have a variety of type of people on here, but we all have one thing in common on here, all of us. All of us are doing something to make changes, not only for ourselves, but for other people. So I appreciate you for that, and I know it can happen because we're already doing it. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special call tomorrow on Tuesday nights for people who are interested in getting involved with the National Black Unity News newspaper. And having a final call by invitation only on Wednesday night for people who are going to be doing podcasting. And Sister Zuleika, you want to, might want to give me, I want to talk to you anyway about a couple of things. But in any case, I'm going to say good night to each and every one, and I appreciate you taking time to come out because y'all come on here, y'all share great information. And I have much love and respect for each and every one of you, so take care and God bless. Good night.
Good night.
David. Hey.
Good night, everyone. Peace and blessings to all.
Goodbye.
I'm in the flow.